Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody tonight? Is everybody enjoying AirVenture? Hey, let's hear it. Thank you. Founders Innovation Prize, second year. We've got a lot to talk about this evening, and one of the things you're going to be able to do is vote on your choice for the Founders Innovation Prize. Okay, Founders Innovation Prize. First of all, we need to recognize President Paul Pobrezny for looking into the future and realizing that the methods that we've used for years and years and years to ensure aviation safety are not good enough for the future. And he wanted to project us into the future. The next thank you goes to EAA for continuing to support the Founders Innovation Prize. Believe me, it takes a lot of work behind the scenes to put this together, notwithstanding all of the entrants that the judges have to screen in advance. The next thing I'd like to do is to thank Airbus, our sponsor. Not only do they provide the financial input and emphasis for this, but they're leaders in innovation, they're leaders in creativity, they're looking into the future, and they're going to help us get there. And lastly, I want to point out the trophy that we have here for the Founders Innovation Prize. This trophy was created by Alan Westby. It has a little bit of everything. It has a little bit of tube, a little bit of rag, a little bit of fiberglass, a little bit of wood. And it wouldn't be surprised me in the future that we add a little bit of electronics on that one. So here are the prizes. Airbus has some aircraft to give away for prizes as well. And to begin that, I'd like to now introduce the judges. Our chief judge tonight is Charlie Precourt. Charlie, would you come and join us? Charlie is he's an Air Force pilot and a graduate of the Air Force Test Pilot School. He built and flies his own rattan very easy, along with a Piper jet prop that he flies back and forth from the Salt Lake City area. Charlie was selected as an astronaut in 1990 and flew 932 hours in space on the space shuttle. He was on the first space shuttle trip to the Mir space station, and he was the space shuttle commander for the very last docking at the Mir space station. Now, Charlie, I did a little bit of math. You know, you've spent 932 hours in space, and at an orbital velocity of 17,500 nautical miles per hour, you flew over 16 million miles. Now, if any of you out there with an RV, for example, or another airplane that flew 160 knots, you'd have a little over 100,000 hours in your logbook. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Terry.
Next, I'd like to introduce Greg Feith. Greg, can you join us?
Sir?
Greg is an expert on aviation safety and security matters, and he has served on the National Transportation Safety Board. Notably, he served on two major investigations. One of them was an Eastern Airlines 727 that crashed in the Andes at a level of 21,223 feet. It's the highest recorded accident investigation in history. And he also investigated the ValuJet crash in the Everglades. He is the current owner and a pilot of a Piper Comanche. Our next judge is Mike Gullion. Mike, join us. Mike is a multidisciplinary demonstration pilot that we've all known and all seen here at AirVenture. He grew up at his family flight school, so he's been steeped in airplanes from the very beginning. He won his first U.S. Unlimited Aerobatic Championship at the age of 27. And look, Mike, are you 27 yet?
28.
I can't believe it. Okay, 28 now. All right. He is a recipient of the Bill Barber and Art Scholl Showmanship Awards. He represents Race 99 in the Red Bull Air Race Championship Series, which he won in 2009, and recently was recorded the fastest lap at the race in Abu Dhabi.
Congratulations.
Following Mike Gullion, I'd like to introduce Dave Morse. Dave. After looking at Dave's website and reviewing some of the things that he's accomplished in the last 30 years, he's really been amazing. He had 34 prototype first flights. Now, that's not first flights on an RV6 or a Bonanza or something like that out of maintenance. 34 prototype first flights. And he's flown everything from warbirds to very light jets with electric power. His accomplishments and range of his skills make him an ideal judge for this particular event because he sees the future through the minds of the contestants. Finally, Richard Van Gunsven. Dick, can you join us? I think we all know Dick. He launched the RV family from his family farm on an airstrip that was 650 feet long, if I remember correctly. And that was in North Plains, Oregon. And almost 10,000 RVs have flown. We're very close to that number. Those are our judges. Go ahead and grab a seat. Now we're going to begin with our finalists. And the way we're going to work it tonight is the finalists will have 10 minutes to give their presentation, and they'll have 5 minutes for questions and answers from the judges. I will be in charge of the timing. I can see it up here as well as the judges. And we're going to get right to the very first one. And this is a group of three high school students. It's absolutely amazing. These guys are seniors in high school, and they made the finals of the Founders Innovation Prize. So we have Thomas Barron, Maxwell Lord, and Justin Zhu. They are from the Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Virginia. Gentlemen, can you join us, please?
I'm just going to pull up our presentation.
You have the floor.
So what that is basically just a camera that's installed onto the airplane and provides a live feed down to the pilot. So you notice the center image in the PowerPoint, that's what the pilot sees. So what's most important to understand about this is there's airspeed and altitude being displayed to the pilot, and no matter where the camera pans, the pilot always sees it. So about 9 months ago, I started working on my private pilot's license, and I realized that this drone technology would be really useful inside the airplane, in that always being able to see your airspeed. So I was looking around, and you can see in the left picture, I'm lining myself up with the runway, and you know, my dad being a Navy pilot, he's really critical of me about my airspeed and the pattern. So I had to look at where I was going to go and then look back at the avionics panel and make sure that I was all checked out. So I realized that there was a quality of life, you know, improvement to be made here in always being able to see your airspeed. So we set out and we wanted to make a head-mounted display. So we realized that not only is there a quality of life improvement to be made here, there's also a safety improvement to be made, and that only about 3% of fatal stall spin accidents happen when the pilot's cruising, which is, I think we can all agree, the only time when the pilot can really zone in on his avionics. So when you're maneuvering, taking off, upon approach, any kind of thing that requires you to keep your head out of the cockpit, that's when you're most at risk for a fatal stall spin accident. So that's really the philosophical pillar behind the Remora system, in that we believe pilots should always have access to their critical flight information, especially when their focus isn't along the center line, and that's, you know, where the avionics are. So this is sort of the concept that we wanted to go for. We wanted, you know, the pilot, that's what he sees, and on the bottom right is what the Remora system will display to you through a head-mounted display. So you see that, in this case, the Remora system isn't really that helpful. You're at a healthy airspeed, angle of attack checks out, everything's pretty much okay. But this is where the Remora system is really, really important for a pilot. The airspeed's dropping pretty low, you're getting a little dangerous, and the angle of attack is reaching a critical point. So this is where most loss of control accidents happen in the United States, right? When you're maneuvering, when you're not looking at the avionics system. The Remora system is specifically built for this kind of thing to make sure that the pilot knows, especially when he's not looking at the avionics system. So just think about what would happen if the pilot did not have the Remora system and he didn't have this display. It would be dumb luck if he looked back at the avionics system in time to realize that he was at risk for a stall. So we had our problem and we had our concept that we were after, but we needed the hardware for it, right? So we went and set out to make a head-mounted display sensor pod system. Now the sensor pod needed to be self-contained, which means wireless and self-powered, and we needed something that was very low impact on the airframe. Something that you could mount like a GoPro, something easy. Head-mounted display, we needed it to be simple, and we needed it to always show to the pilot what his airspeed and angle of attack was, and something that you could take off and put back on. And the reason why we wanted airspeed and angle of attack was, combined with what you can see outside, airspeed and angle of attack will pretty much always keep you at least safe.
So right here on the screen, we have how we're currently implementing our sensor pod. So I'm holding in my hands right here, and you can see it's about the size of a football, but a bit thinner. And what we've designed it around is a Raspberry Pi microcontroller with a Bluetooth module and a differential barometer for airspeed. So how we're mounting it underneath Thomas's plane, which is the Shark, is that we're clamping it to the tie-down point under the plane, which most planes have. But we're also looking into GoPro mounts for other planes as well. So after the pod is turned on and begins sensing airspeed data, it sends the data to our head-mounted display, as you can see in the picture here, which is mounted on the pilot's sunglasses. So the process right now is that once the data is sensed by the pod, it's sent over Bluetooth to a tablet, which we're using as an intermediary for a prototype. And the tablet takes that airspeed data and processes it into a display signal that the head-mounted display can read and display to the pilot. So we came upon this design by first talking to Thomas's dad, as well as other pilots at our airport, the Warrenton Fauquier Airport. After we figured all that out, we began building SOLIDWORKS models, and then we tested them with flow simulations inside SOLIDWORKS to make sure that the airflow was optimal and that there wasn't any undue stress on the plane. After we figured that out, we began prototyping. So what we did was we 3D printed at our school multiple iterations, and then after we 3D printed, we would begin flight testing. Our first phase in flight testing was to mount the pod underneath the plane without any electronics in it, and then we would do a flight just to see if there was any damage to the pod. After we confirmed that the pod was robust and there were no problems with how it was designed, then we would begin filling it with our electronics, and then we would begin fully testing it. Right here you can see the five iterations of pod out of the 11 that we've come across in the past year. So this really goes to show how much thought we've put into different mounting methods for different planes, so that we can apply our system to a wide variety of planes in the future.
So Justin mentioned we use a tablet right now to transfer Bluetooth information into an HDMI display, but that's a little large and we don't actually need the tablet for it. So we're transitioning to this hardware box right here. It cuts down on cost and the physical volume of it. It's just, longest side is just 6 centimeters. So this is the actual head-mounted display that attaches to sunglasses, and we wanted to accomplish a few things here. We wanted it to display critical flight information to the pilot and warn them of dangerous situations, but we also wanted it to be easily removable, and this can clip on and clip off to your sunglasses in just a second using a magnet. So however much you feel like using the head-mounted display, whether it's all the time or only when entering a pattern or entering a landing pattern, then it's up to you. So our plan for the near future, we finished our prototype, and we want to tie up a few loose ends, like integrating the hardware box instead of the tablet. But we have built our system so it's easy to add on new information. Any sensors we add can be added onto existing system infrastructure without any significant re-engineering. We just need to clip on the sensor and it's ready to go to display to the pilot.